Muy buenas tardes a todos los que están conectados a través de
Good afternoon to all those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8. Today, Friday, January 17 of this year, 2025. Our subject is the requirements for the transformation. It was preached on October 1st of 2008 in Bogotá, Colombia. And the scripture there that we have on this occasion, the one that he used there of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 and on, and let's search our Bibles there. Let's begin on verse 44 of chapter 15. It tells us, it is sown natural body. Here, in this Bible, he writes on top, it was inherited from the serpent. It is sown natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There he draws a Star of David to the left. There is natural body and there is spiritual body. As so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. In spirit, he writes theophany. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual, and he draws a Star of David to the left. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Here in this Bible, he draws at the top, in the margin, a cornerstone and the ages. The last two ages there, he draws them an eye on each one, and in the cornerstone, an eye as well. In a twinkling of an eye, there it shows us that it is through a prophet. There are other drawings where in the cornerstone, he draws two eyes, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, those two ministries. But in this case, he drew one eye, because there he's showing that it is through a veil of flesh, which he has worked from age to age and from dispensation to dispensation. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The requirements for the transformation. You may please be seated. In the message, the steps for adoption, which was preached on Friday, September 18 of 2009, in Veracruz, Mexico, our brother William Soto Santiago tells us, at the last trump, there is a divine order here for the adoption of all the children of God. It is not a matter of the person saying, I am a believer in Christ, and I don't have to know anything about that program of adoption in order to be adopted. There is a program of adoption, and therefore, according to that program, the adoption will come for those who are written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those who will be adopted are the ones who will know that program, that divine order. The rest of them do not need to know if they are going to be transformed or not. And now notice, that is why some believe and others don't. It is he who believes, and it is for he who believes that those requirements are shown and made known. It is for them, for those who are going to be transformed. For the rest, that order, those steps, those requirements for the transformation will not matter, because since they are not going to be transformed, well, it don't concern them. Instead, some, if they allow themselves to be used by the enemy, become instruments or are used by the wicked one as instruments to fight against, to attack God's program that he's carrying out at this end time, the program for each elect of God to obtain the requirements, the steps to obtain the eternal and glorified body. That is the rapture in faith. Whoever will not be transformed, well, he doesn't need to receive the rapture in faith, as simple as that. And that is how the elect of God can identify at this time who will be transformed and who won't be transformed. Dr. William Soto goes on to say, but those who will be transformed will know it, they will believe it, and obtain the faith to be transformed. Now notice how it was in Noah's time, which here in the message, a true sign that's overlooked, there it shows us that Noah carried out the preparations. At that time, it was to build an ark. Look, on page 11 of this message, of this version, Reverend William Branham tells us, Noah was a sign in his day to the people of the coming judgment. Noah in his day was considered a fanatic. He was a prophet. He was considered one that did not have a good mind. And the man hammered away for year after year, building an ark when there's not even water on earth but what was in the springs. And he predicted something that was ridiculous to the carnal mind. He said, there is coming water from up in the sky. No doubt that many would say to him, show me what it's at. It seems like that also, notice, not only in the time of Noah, but in all times, the unbelievers and make believers, the time also comes when they rise against and start to question. Let's see, show me this, show me that, where is that? Now, more so at this time, when the thunders, notice, John was forbidden to write it, because the thunders contain the rapture in faith. The thunders contain the coming of the Lord, how it would be, when it would be, and how he would come. That is all the details. But John was forbidden to write it, and he was told, let's see that little part here, where John was told, don't write it, let it pass, because otherwise, they will stagger over that. Look, that is in the page 136 from the Book of the Seals. See, oh my, but think now, he wrote this. But when he started to write those other seven thunders, he said, don't write it. He had been commissioned to write everything he seen. But when these seven thunders over in Revelation 10 uttered, he said, don't write them at all. They are mysteries, we don't know what they are yet. But my opinion, they will be revealed right away, and when it do, it'll give faith for the rapturing grace for that church to move out. Who is it for? It is for the bride, not for anyone else. See? We've just moved through everything that we know of, through all the dispensation, we've watched everything, we've seen the mysteries of God, we've seen the appearing of the great gathering together of the bride in the last days. And there on top of the paragraph, he writes the thunders, faith for rapture, in this book. And in this other one, let's see here, the 117, there at the top of that paragraph, he writes, the seven thunders and the rapture in faith. And also in this one, in the red one, on the left, he writes thunders, and he also writes faith. But yet, there is something in there that we just can't lighten ourselves with. There is something other. But I imagine when them mysteries begin to come forth, that is, when all of that begins to be fulfilled, God said, hold it back now. Wait a minute, I'll reveal it in that day. Don't write it at all, John, because they'll stagger over it. And always, from age to age and from dispensation to dispensation, the part that people stagger is with the veil of flesh, with the fulfillment of the prophecy. Just let it go, see? But I will reveal it in that day, and he writes, eighth day, when it has need to be done. They never utter for nothing. Remember, like the little drop of ink, everything is a purpose, everything is for a cause. But notice, the Creator uttered, and he heard this voice, and he went to see. But now the Lamb is showing John in the symbol of a church scripture, like for the church to know what to write. He just showed him, said, now, don't tell this, just what it is. Don't go down, John, and say, now, this is just what it is of what's under the seventh seal. See, what is under the seventh seal? It's the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. And there, John, if he had started writing it, he could have even written the name of the instrument in whom he would be fulfilling the coming. His coming. Don't go down and tell that, for if I tell John that, then all down through the age, the whole plan will be broke. It's a secret, see? He just wants his coming. He said, now, and anybody is going to know when I'm coming. I'm just coming, see? That's all. It ain't for my business to know when. I'll just be ready. And how would the church bride be ready? Well, by seeing and receiving and hearing those requirements to obtain that rapturing faith and to be able to receive him and to be able to believe in him. Now, he goes on to say here in this other book, in this page 117, is where he draws a cornerstone and he writes seventh seal on the right, there in that last paragraph that we read. And to the left, he writes future. On the previous paragraph, where it says, I'll reveal it in that day what has need to be done, on the left, a cornerstone, and to the right, need to be known. This is the time when the church bride has that need, and God is fulfilling to each one of his children. He is fulfilling that need for them, meaning he is making known to them what John was forbidden to write. He is revealing what he said to John, I will reveal it in that day. This is the day, the eighth day, the age of the cornerstone. That mystery is being made known today. Now, it goes on to say here on page 12 in the message, a true sign that's overlooked, which we were reading a few minutes ago, it says, and while there was yet no water in sight, let's look at the previous paragraph because we stopped there where it says, let's look. No doubt that many would say him, show me where it's at. That's where we left off. The science would say, I can prove there's no water up there. The science would say, I can prove there's no water up there. But yet, if God told him that it was coming from the skies, God will see to it that his word is fulfilled. And while there was no water in sight, while there had never been a cloud up in the skies, never had rained a drop, there's never wasn't such a thing as rain. Yet all the time Noah was preparing an ark for the rain. It was a living evidence that this prophet believed what he had talking about, for he was making ready for it. And any persons that really believe what you're talking about, you make ready for it. And he writes in the Bible study, in that portion he writes, the evidence of believing to make yourself ready to receive what God had promised. May I stop right here just a minute on the day of Noah? As Jesus said, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. If the churches today believe what they are talking about, they would practice what they say. Now, a bit further on in this same message, on page 11, but Noah, a neurotic, considered in that day through the foolishness of preaching and performing a sign before the people, giving them warning, condemned the world by building an ark when there is no water to make it float. He condemned the world. The Bible said, Hebrews 11th chapter, he condemned the world and saved his own house by preparing and being a sign for God of the oncoming judgments of that day. What a glorious thing. Later years, there come another sign. That was Moses, a prophet. That was God's sign to Israel. They had been 400 years in bondage, and God prepared a sign for them just before deliverance, and he was a sign of deliverance to Israel, and a sign of judgment to Egypt. Noah was a sign of deliverance to his people, and a sign of judgment to the lost world, the unbeliever. The very waters that choked the world and drowned the world was the only means of saving Noah. The only thing that could save him was the judgment. The only thing that'll save the church today is the judgment. God laying the judgment to the plummet. But Noah preached the same. He became a sign. And now Israel, after 400 years, they begin to cry out for deliverance. And God never reveals himself and shows himself until his people are ready to receive what he shows. And on the left, he draws a Star of David. Now, our brother William goes on to say here in the message, the steps for the adoption, where we are reading, just as there is an order to receive salvation and eternal life, and to receive the Holy Spirit and to obtain the new birth, and therefore obtain the spiritual adoption, and everything revolves around the first coming of Christ to receive the spiritual adoption and obtain eternal life in our soul. And now, if there is a mystery, Paul said, and if he said that it, what he's speaking about here is a mystery, then it is. He says that it will be at the last trumpet. Then some people think, well, there will be an angel with that trumpet there sounding that trumpet. Look, that is more difficult than what it really means. An angel is a messenger, and that final trumpet is the voice of God, the voice of Christ speaking on this earth to his people, to his church. And a bit further on in this same message, our brother William goes on to say, we have seen that the gospel of the kingdom is none other than God's last message, the great voice of trumpet or last trumpet, and that is the message that the Hebrew people will hear. That is why the Hebrew people, as a nation, haven't wanted to hear the preaching of the gospel of Christ. They cannot believe because the message that they will hear is the message of the gospel of the kingdom. That is the message that the angel of Revelation chapter 7 will come with, who comes to seal, to call and seal 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 of each tribe, chapter 7, verse 1 and on. And in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 to 5, they already appear sealed in their foreheads with their Father's name and with the name of the Lamb in their foreheads. In other words, with the knowledge of the name of God, the Father, and the name of Jesus Christ. That already appears in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 15. And it is not the name Jesus because they were persecuted with the name of Jesus. And notice, under that name, and with that name of redemption and for redemption, he was not received there in the midst of the Hebrew people. But with the new name, he will be. Now, in Revelation, we find that there is a prophetic message for all the nations. That is why when the mighty angel who comes down from heaven, which is Christ, the angel of the covenant with the little book open in his hand, the book that was sealed in heaven with seven seals in Revelation chapter 5, and it is taken by Christ, the Lamb, which is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he takes it. Once he already finishes his work of intercession and becomes the Lion of the tribe of Judah, John knew him as the Lamb of God, but the elder tells him that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is taking his claiming work, taking the book to carry out his claiming work. Now notice when that claiming work begins, when he rises up from the throne and takes the book. By standing up, that is already the sign of where that work begins. It begins progressively. Now, when he stands up from the throne, remember that it is when that half hour of silence begins, which is happening now in our midst, in our time. The half hour already started a while ago. He is starting his claiming work, taking the book to carry out his claiming work, claiming everything that he has redeemed with his blood, resurrecting the dead believers in him into glorified bodies and transforming the living. That is in the claiming work of Christ as Lion of the tribe of Judah. And all of that is contained in the gospel of the kingdom. And now, he gives the title deed to a man in Revelation chapter 10 for him to eat it. And then he says to him, "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." When does that happen? When he leaves the throne of intercession. Therefore, he could not live from there until the last elect was redeemed, cast in the bleach, meaning the blood, under that work that he carried out on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago in his first coming, fulfilling the work of redemption for everyone who believes in him. But notice that as long as all that was being carried out, as long as the door of the dispensation of grace was opened, he was on the throne making intercession. The title deed had not been taken yet, and it had not been opened in heaven, because that still laid in the future, which in the book of the seals he speaks to us in several places, where he spoke everything as if it was happening there. But he said, "But this lies in the future." Now notice, until 2018, that hadn't taken place yet. But then, that instrument, notice, said that time is no more. That instrument through whom God spoke at that time, and he was proclaiming that time was over. That is the time of the dispensation of grace, because God works through his instruments, his veils of flesh, his prophets. "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." John the Apostle represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, along with all the messengers that the church of the Lord would have. At the last day, the mighty angel comes down from heaven with the little book open in his hand, and that is the title deed of heavens and the earth. It is the book of redemption. It is the title deed of eternal life, for which that book must be opened in heaven, be brought to earth in order to carry out the physical work of redemption, of the redemption of the physical body. Because remember, without the title deed on earth, the claiming work could not be carried out. There could be no claim. In other words, every child of God, by receiving the word, the revelation, the content, the rapturing faith, which is contained in that book, that title deed, wouldn't be able to claim the eternal and glorified body, nor the earth, the universe, everything, because everything belongs to us. Therefore, the title deed has to be on earth to carry out that work. And on earth is where he carries out that claiming work. And that title, notice, is made known on earth. That is why he says that the thunders are given, meaning they are sounded on earth, not in heaven. Those seven thunders are uttered on earth. And now notice, the book is given to a man for him to eat it, and then he is told, you must prophesy before many peoples, nations, and tongues. If the one who eats it is going to prophesy, what must he be? A prophet. And so he must come with a prophetic message that will be making known all the things that will come to pass. And then it goes on to Revelation 11, which is the ministry of the two olive trees. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, it says, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from one end of heaven to the other. Those angels are the ministries of the two olive trees, the ministries of Moses and Elijah to call and gather 144,000 Hebrews. Those ministries correspond to Moses and Elijah, to the ministry of the two olive trees, and the call of the 144,000, 12,000 of each tribe, corresponds to the two olive trees with the message of the great voice of trumpet, the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet of Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 and on. That is the great trumpet that Christ spoke of in the gospel of the kingdom, the everlasting gospel, the message that the Hebrew people will hear and believe. When you see the Hebrew people and their leaders drawing near to some part of Christianity, remember, something is moving in the divine program. They are searching for a man, for a prophet. That is why they don't receive preachers, because they were ordained by God to only believe in a prophet. The Lord your God will rise up unto you a prophet, Moses says, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 19. And further on it says, the Lord your God shall rise up a prophet from among your brethren, and will put, God says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak all that I shall command him. And whosoever will not hear what he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now notice that the only one that the Hebrew people are going to receive is the prophet, is a prophet. But notice that in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, there he tells us that they will be deceived by that false prophet. Let's look here in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, where it tells us, on page 124, in this other version is the 143, and in the book in English is the 106 to 107. He says, when the church goes up, now remember, when it goes up to where? To the age of the cornerstone. When the church goes up, then the confederation, the sleeping virgins, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and the lukewarm Pentecost, all of them together with the confederation, which they've already got their big regime now, and when they do, they'll make a covenant, and, well, now, this new pope that we got now wants to bring them all in. Can't you see the thing heaping right up? Going to give a talk on it and bring them all in. First time for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, 1,000 years or two. It's ever been done, but now he's to bring them all in together and make a confederation. And in there, the Jews will accept it. Whom? That movement, but notice that it is led by the Pope, who is the Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, who deceives them. Oh my glory! There, on the right, upwards, he writes, the covenant between the beast and the Jews. Oh my glory! Hallelujah! Praise be to our God, who lives forever and ever. There you are. Now, brother, it is just as simple as a little kid could see it. The confederation of bringing Jews and Protestants and Catholic together. And remember, what these two prophets going to do when they come? This beast, this prince that shall scatter the power of the holy people, what will he do? He will break his covenant with them after 3.5 years. He will oust them. Now, People think that's communism. Now, there is something very beautiful here and very glorious, but notice that all of that takes place before the Great Tribulation begins, because those Jews are sealed before the Great Tribulation begins, which we see that there on page 412, where 412. Now, Jacob has come up now. He got a longing to go where? Back to the homeland. Oh, that's exactly what Israel has done. He just had his name changed, you know, see? He got out there, and he got all the money he had, and he could get, and took it any way he could, from his kinfolks or anybody else. So, cheating, stealing, lying, any way he could get it, he got it, see? He did. And then when he starts back to home, he got to get a homesick feeling in his heart. But as he started back on his road going back, he met God. Then his name was changed, see? But in this time, he was so worried because he was afraid Esau, now remember that Esau is Rome, was coming after him, see? And watch the money proposition, just like the Jew will try making this covenant with Rome, see? In their money proposition. With whom? With Rome. And Rome, well, led by the Antichrist, the man of sin, in other words, the Pope. And he writes there on top, the covenant with Rome. Notice it, that Esau didn't need his money, neither does Rome. She's got the wealth of the world in her hand. Now notice, that's the one who comes in his own name, and him they will receive. But then, where we paused in the 70 weeks of Daniel, we are going to read there who is the one who tells them their mistake. Now, let's continue here in the book of the seals, but we find out now that Israel, in that time of trouble, there he writes, by Mussolini, Stalin, and Hitler, when he was Jacob, he wrestled with that he got a hold of something that was real. There was a man come down. Jacob got his arms around him, and he stayed there. And the fellow said, I must be going now. It's coming daylight. Oh, that breaking of the day. Seventh millennium, he writes there, see? It was fixing to come day. And on the right he writes, the day equals the millennium. And on the left also he writes, Revelation 10, 1-7. But Jacob said, I am not going to leave you. You can't go. I'm going to stay right with you. See, I want things change here. That's the 144,000, that money scheming bunch, and things like that. When they see the true, genuine thing to get a hold of, there stands Moses and there stands Elijah. See, and right now we're going to read what he says. Amen. They'll wrestle with God until 144,000 of the tribes of Israel are called out right there. That's just before the tribulation period. Therefore, we are seeing there that if that happens before the Great Tribulation, and there in the 70 weeks of Daniel, he is telling us that it is at the end of the 3.5 years. Now, those 3.5 years beforehand is where that covenant is taking place in that moment between the Hebrew people and Rome, which they break at the end. Now, all of that is unfolding, and it opens up more and more as the prophecy is being fulfilled, as the fulfillment of each thing is made known as it is fulfilled. Them two prophets, they preach like John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, Israel. Repent what? Repent from your sins, your unbelief, and turn back to God. Notice, that's where the Feast of Atonement comes in. Now, notice, here it continues to tell us where we paused. In the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, people think that's communism. That's just because you, the Spirit of God, hasn't dealt with you yet. It's not communism. It's religion. The Bible said it'll be so close till it deceived the very elect, if possible. Jesus said so. See, we are the last. Now, these two prophets, what will they do? It's Moses and Elijah that will rise on the scene, meaning at that time, it says there, they will tell those Jews their mistake, and he writes there to the left, the mistake of the Jews is joining the Confederation of Churches. And out of that Jewish bunch that's there now to be the 144,000, God will call by these prophets. What is it? Now, if God will call by these prophets, now notice that in the Book of the Seals, he told us that this will take place before the Great Tribulation, so he has to have that instrument, that veil of flesh in the midst of the church bride to carry out that work in favor of the Hebrew people as well, because the third pool is for the church bride, for the church, the foolish, and for the lost, for the world. In other words, the 144,000 are included there. What is it? The spirit of Elijah, and he writes, the fifth Elijah, of this Gentile church will just continue right on into that Jewish church, go right on in and call Moses with him. That is the ministry of Moses, a dispensational ministry. Hallelujah, you see it? And he will preach this message of Pentecost to those Jews that they rejected the Messiah. Now, you can continue there. We have read that on other occasions. And to the right, he writes, the 50th year of Jubilee, message of Pentecost. And to the left, he writes, Elijah and Moses. Now, let's continue here where we paused. In the message that we are reading, the steps for the adoption, it says, that prophecy is partially fulfilled in every prophet that God has sent, but it is fully fulfilled in the Messiah in his first coming and in his second coming. A prophet like Moses, a dispensational prophet with a dispensational message, at the last day, it will be the message of the gospel of the kingdom. And now let's turn to Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 to 7 here, where we will see that messenger. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. And if he's going to preach it, Brother William says, to them that dwell on the earth, then he has to be on the earth, and he must be a prophet. Now, notice how simple and clear it all is. But at the same time, notice that for the one who will not be transformed, he cannot understand it, he cannot comprehend it, and he thinks it's another way, a different way, and they start adding the message and interpreting it, and giving their own interpretation of what Brother Branham wanted to say and what Brother William Soto Santiago wanted to say. But the elect will be seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy. Notice, they have to be seeing a prophet bringing that message of the gospel of the kingdom. Which message? The platform that was brought to us, the foundation that was brought to us by his forerunner, Reverend William Branham, and also the good tidings, the news that Dr. William Soto Santiago brought to us. As simple as that. And to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. He comes teaching to worship God, to serve God, teaching how to serve God, how to worship God, stimulating the people to seek God, and showing mankind that the hour of his judgment, of the divine judgment, has come. In other words, that messenger comes a bit before the Great Tribulation. A bit before. Notice, that messenger is supposed to be there. In other words, a living instrument who is in the midst of the church bride. Before the Great Tribulation begins with the everlasting gospel, which is the gospel of the kingdom, we have already seen that this messenger will be a prophet who will come prophesying before many nations, peoples, and tongues, just as Moses did, prophesying the things that would happen in Egypt, and just as Elijah prophesied as well. And now, at this end time, this messenger who will come will have the final message of God, the great voice of trumpet or last trumpet. In the time when he is giving his message, Christ will resurrect the dead believers in him and will transform the living believers in Christ. Now, notice, in the time of the angel messengers of the ages, that did not take place. Although Paul said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He was there in the first age, speaking of that promise, but it wasn't at that time. Everyone was expecting that in the time of Paul, speaking such a great revelation, notice, The resurrection and the transformation would take place because it was in the time when a living messenger would be speaking, proclaiming the day of vengeance, would be proclaiming the great voice of trumpet, and the dead would resurrect. No messenger of the ages, nor in the time of the seventh angel messenger of the seventh Gentile church age, Reverend William Branham, with the spirit and power of Elijah in his fourth manifestation there in North America, for whoever wishes to receive him, he is the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, and the coming of the Son of Man with his angels in this end time in its fulfillment is the one who vindicates and will be the final vindication that Reverend William Branham was the forerunner of his coming. Now, it didn't take place in his time. Neither the resurrection nor the transformation took place in his time, in the time of the Archangel Gabriel there when he was giving those good tidings to Mary, Jesus' mother. The resurrection did not take place there in that time either. And at this time, in the time of Dr. William Soto Santiago, the resurrection did not take place either. So, the one who was forerun must come, who is the fulfillment of what was forerun back in the time of Jesus 2,000 years ago by John the Baptist. He forerun the coming of the Messiah. With the coming of the Messiah, that would bring, that would fulfill the resurrection of those of the Old Testament. And at this end time, with the coming of the one forerun, he comes, it is fulfilled, as he says here, in the time when he is giving his message, Christ will resurrect the dead believers in him and will transform the living believers in Christ, which all of that will have a process, some steps to follow, because notice that what happens to Revelation 11, but they will only be absent for 3.5 days, just as Jesus was absent 2,000 years ago when he was crucified, and he had to go past through the fifth dimension and then through paradise to bring those of the Old Testament. Likewise, the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord will pass by and bring them. It says, those of the sixth dimension, that he would pass by and resurrect us, and then we will eat, we will take up bodies, and we will eat. Now notice, in the fulfillment and time for that messenger to preach his message, that is when that promise will be fulfilled, which we read at the beginning of that scripture of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44 to 45, and on, and of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and on. In that time of that messenger is when that will be fulfilled, the resurrection and transformation will be fulfilled. In the time when he is giving his message, Christ will resurrect the dead believers in him and will transform the living believers in Christ. That is the time of the last trumpet or great voice of trumpet. That is the time of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom by this messenger who is sent with the everlasting message, the gospel of the kingdom. And that messenger is this same messenger who appears here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets hence his angel to show unto his servants the things which must surely be done. And in Revelation 22, verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. That messenger is the angel of Jesus, is the angel. It is the Holy Spirit who is made flesh at the same time. Now remember that the scriptures have multiple fulfillments. And it is the Holy Spirit, the one that God sends, incarnate in the age of the cornerstone. The Holy Spirit was in the midst of the ages, and he was working in the midst of the ages in mercy. And in the age of the cornerstone, when the ages are over and the dispensation of grace is closed, the Lord takes out, he takes the Holy Spirit out from among the church, which is he who lets. There in the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, let's search for that scripture there. Of 2 Thessalonians, in the chapter, let's see. In chapter 2, verse 7, For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, that is the Holy Spirit, until he be taken out of the way. Notice, out of the way, meaning from within the dispensation of grace. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, that is, the two-edged sword, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now notice how the Holy Spirit, which is the angel of the covenant who delivered the Hebrew people at this time, that angel is the one who comes in human flesh in the age of the cornerstone. He was in the midst of the ages, which are, Brother Branham, on page 134 in the Book of the Seals, says, when this Holy Spirit that we have, the one who is in our midst now in the form of Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, then we will crown him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was in the ages and in the breach, that is why he placed there Holy Spirit there. And through the manifestation of the angel in the midst of the instrument, in the midst of God's people, called William Soto Santiago, he was bringing the good tidings. But notice, he was in a stage where the dispensation of the kingdom had not been opened yet, where that Holy Spirit would be working and fulfilling his coming incarnate in a man, to bring in that man the revelation, the rapture in faith, and for the new name to be there. Now notice, all of that is such a great mystery that it's been opened in such a simple way that even children can understand it. Now notice in this message the three things that he does in his coming, in the message, the rapture. There he shows us about those three things. On page 25, he tells us, reading from the scripture of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And he says, Brother Branham says, three things happen, a voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, shout, Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. Who? He himself. That is why he writes there, God will do all three things by a prophet. In other words, he will carry out the fulfillment of those three things by a prophet. A shout. What is a shout? It's the message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things. He's the unchanging God, and there on the left he draws a cornerstone, and he writes there from 6 to 9 a.m., that is the fourth watch when he appears. In Amos 3:7, he said he would do nothing on the earth until he first revealed it to his servants, the prophets, and just as certain as he promised it, he will do it. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages there on the left. Now notice also on page 9, it tells us of this message, the rapture. God loaded his word out of each age, and each one of those age has to manifest that. And he also foreordained men for that age to fulfill that word. Every time that he loaded his word, he loaded a man for it. When he loaded Moses' time, he loaded Moses to it. When he loaded the time for the Son of God to be born, he loaded him to it. Every age, he's loaded his man, foreordained, as the Bible said. Notice how from age to age, he has allotted an instrument, and he continues to say, if God is infinite, almighty, all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient, why? He knowed all things from the beginning. So he knowed. There is nothing out of cater. It's just us that thinks it is. It's everything wrong. Look back in the Word and see what He's doing. Then we'll have an understanding. Now, notice. Let's go a little bit further right there. In other words, continuing there. I'm on page 10 from the rapture. Now, just think. First place, if that minister would have thought when they put that vinegar and gall in his mouth, he spit it out. He did not take it at the first place. See? Just scoffers rising. Another thing, how did this Jesus of Nazareth, how did his life fit every prophecy of the Old Testament? How could it be? It couldn't have been without it being ordained of God. His life fit every prophecy of the Old Testament. Another thing, if those disciples had faked him like that, why did each one of them die in martyrdom? And even Apostle Peter said, "Turn my head upside down, I am not worthy to die like him." How they took Andrew and turned him sideways on the cross. They everyone sealed their testimony in their own blood. They believed him and loved him and gave their lives for him that was in the first coming of the Lord. If he was a faker, how would they ever done that? See? The spiritual application, the people don't get it. And there he writes to the left, they do not get the spiritual application. Now notice, all of that message is very tremendous, this message, the rapture. Now, let's continue here where we paused in this same message. A little further on, he says, I'm on the one of the steps for the adoption by Dr. William Soto. He will have that advantage to be able to deal with Jews and also with Christianity. In other words, he will be able to speak to Christianity, he will be able to speak to Judaism, and he won't have any problem. He will have the message pertaining to the dispensation of the kingdom, and therefore the message for the last day, for the seventh millennium from Adam to now, and for the third millennium from Christ to now, which is the last day of the last three millennia. There is the order, or there are the steps for adoption. Those who will be adopted won't have to be forced to believe, because they will understand. The wise will understand, says Daniel chapter 12. Christ will open their understanding as he did with his disciples in Luke chapter 24, verses 41 and on. Notice, they won't have to be forced, just as the disciples didn't have to be forced there in the first coming of the Lord. At this end time, no one is forced. Everyone is coming because they are seeing the fulfillment of that which was brought, which will be the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. Anyone may say, yes, but he did that work. He was the one who called and gathered all those people. And what moves those people to those activities so they go and receive the one who is speaking there? Because if they did not believe, they wouldn't be going. Something moves them. There is an attraction in the mountain. There is an attraction behind the veil in the age of the cornerstone. So they are believing what the forerunner said that the coming of the Lord would be, and what Dr. William Soto Santiago brought to us, because they are believers, they are the ones who are going to be transformed. And then we will all understand the steps for the adoption. The adoption is our transformation for the living, and the resurrection of the dead in Christ into glorified bodies. The redemption of the body, where we will have immortal bodies, like the glorified body of Christ, our Savior. God won't stay away from His program. There has to be a stage of the church for the adoption. Let's call it the age of the adoption. 2,000 years have already passed since Christ, and therefore since Christianity. And the church has been going through different stages. A stage must come, and let's call it the stage of the age of the cornerstone. Look, he says, a stage must come, and let's call it the age of the cornerstone, because he couldn't open that mystery openly. And notice that he opened it little by little, and he let us catch a glimpse, And in several places we have found that he said, the door of the dispensation of grace has not closed yet. He has not left the throne of intercession in heaven yet. He has not taken the title deed in heaven yet. The second coming of the Lord has not been fulfilled yet. Notice that he spoke all of that, but in a certain way, it showed that people understood and comprehended that in the time of our brother William, we were living in the time of the dispensation of the kingdom, when we were living in it potentially. Now, all of that, now that we are in the age of the cornerstone, we can understand everything that was brought to us by Dr. William Soto Santiago and by Reverend William Branham. Let's call it the stage of the age of the cornerstone, the stage of the adoption, the stage where all the promises of the last day will be fulfilled, the coming of the Messiah and the coming of Elijah and Moses, of the two olive trees for the Jews, the coming of the Lord for the church of the Lord, the great voice of trumpet or last trumpet, of which he speaks to us in the book of Quotations on page, let's see here, that's from the message, the Feast of the Trumpets. In the book of Quotations, it tells us, on page 129, it tells us, paragraph 1150, now, as soon as this church, the mystery of the seventh seal, or the seventh seal, the mystery of going, and the Jews is called by the mystery of the seventh trumpet, which is two prophets, Elijah and Moses, and above he writes, Moses and Elijah equals the mystery of the seventh trumpet. And he also tells us on page 130, paragraph 1164, remember that they which are alive and remain shall not hinder those which are sleeping, for the trump of God, that last trumpet, the sixth, has just sounded, and that last trumpet, like the last seal, which is the seventh seal, see? And the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, which will be the coming of the Lord, it shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And he writes there, the great trumpet, that is the seventh trumpet, equals the seventh seal. See? Because what the seventh seal is to the church, which is the coming of the Lord, is the seventh trumpet to Israel, which are Moses and Elijah. Now, our brother William continues to say here, he says, let's call it the stage of the age of the cornerstone, the stage of the adoption, the stage where all the promises of the last day will be fulfilled, the coming of Elijah and Moses, of the two olive trees for the Jews, the coming of the Lord for the church of the Lord, the great voice of trumpet or last trumpet, the gospel of the kingdom or everlasting gospel, the call to the elect, to 144,000 Hebrews, 12,000 of each tribe, and also the gathering, the elect of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to complete the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without the completion of the church, we cannot leave this earth, we cannot be transformed. Because Christ cannot leave the throne of intercession without redeeming the very last one who is written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said that none of his sheep will be lost, therefore, he is going to call them all, as he said, and he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. In a writing there, he left us somewhere on a page in the back part. There he writes, until he has redeemed the very last one, then he rises from the throne. See how that happened? When we stopped the baptisms, wash of feet, Holy Supper, wash of feet, and all of that. And that stage of the dispensation of grace where the altar calls were being carried out to carry out those memorials, that ended. Now, he goes on to say here, the steps for the adoption, to live on this earth and not know the steps for the adoption, yet be waiting for the transformation, it is like living in the time when John the Baptist came, and when Jesus came, many were waiting for Elijah to come and for the Messiah to come as well. And he came and they didn't even realize it because they didn't know the steps for the fulfillment of that program. They thought that Elijah would come in a chariot of fire because he left in a chariot of fire. And since he left that way, he would have to come. Notice they say, no, it's because he left the believers of Brother Branham, which there is a group, a number from that group who will come into that age in the age of the cornerstone and be transformed. But notice, until that mystery is opened and their veil is removed, notice, they think that he will return because he said that the white horse rider, he says, that would ride that trail again. He says, on page 166, paragraph 1485, it says, now, I was getting pretty old, and I thought, will there be another revival? I'll see another time. And just remember, from the west will come a white horse rider, will ride this trail, and he rides there fifth Elijah and second Moses. Again, that's right, soon as we get ready, it's a promise, you see. And on the right, he writes there, the west will come a white horse rider. Now, look, at the bottom he also writes Revelation 10 from 1 to 11 and 19 from 11 to 19. Notice that. And above he also writes there, we will ride this trail again. Some people think that because he said that, he has to come from above. In other words, he has to resurrect to fulfill that promise. And also at this time, some who pointed fingers at them, saying that they were doing the wrong thing, who believed the wrong way, that it wasn't that way, that it's not that he would return, it's that it's in another man. Notice, the archangel Gabriel left. In other words, that ministry which was in the midst of the church, bringing us all that revelation of what the coming of that promised son would be, and he left. And notice, they are thinking the same thing and believing the same thing as those who they themselves pointed fingers at, saying that it wasn't the way that they thought that Brother Branham would return. Well, they are in the same situation. They are thinking that he will return to fulfill what is left to be fulfilled. They've even said, no, he's going to return to finish what he left. See, they start to add to it and take away from it, and that is very dangerous, because whoever adds to it, plagues will be added to him, and whoever takes away from it, his name will be blotted out of the book of life. Now, he continues to say, because he left in a chariot of fire, and since he left that way, he would have to come. And notice, it was the ministry of Elijah in another man named John the Baptist. And the Messiah came, and they didn't recognize him, except those who had received John the Baptist, and others who heard the preaching of Jesus, or of the apostles. In other words, let's say that one-tenth, that's a being generous, of the inhabitants of the Hebrew people knew that the Messiah was on earth, or perhaps less, but many saw him, but they didn't know that the Messiah was on earth. There are many, many people, many human beings on earth at this end time, and many religions and many sects. But notice, only the church bride, that small group, is the one seeing the fulfillment of that coming, because he comes as a thief at night. And of the whole world, only a small group is the group that is seeing and receiving his coming. But many saw him and didn't know that the Messiah was on earth, because they believed that he was a false prophet, that he was an impostor, that he was a gluttonous man and a wine drinker, because sinners invited him to eat. He would go and be with them and eat, and they would say, this is a gluttonous man and a wine drinker and friend of publicans and sinners. The same thing that they have said in this end time as well, see? Because it is the same. It is repeated again because he said that it would be parallel in every way. And so they point out things about him as they pointed them out back then in the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord in that man, in that young carpenter called Jesus of Nazareth. And Christ says to him, those who are whole don't need a physician. Those who are sick are the ones who need a physician. So Christ knew how to explain why he was eating with those people, accepting their invitation. And look, in the message, the mighty God unveiled before us on page 19 to 20. He says, at the bottom he says, we notice another thing. In the Old Testament, I have a scripture here in Exodus that the old badger skin, what did it do? It hid the glory of God from the people. The badger skins, even people couldn't see it because it was a skin that held it. The skin was, the glory of God was behind the skin. And now the glory of God is behind your skin, that's right. And the traditions don't see it. It's inside the veil where His word was. And he writes on the left, God's glory hidden by the veil. And there, it's inside the veil where his word was. There, on the right, he writes Revelation 10:8-11 and 11:3. That is the coming of the mighty angel, and Revelation 11, Moses and Elijah, because the Son of Man comes with his angels. What was on the inside of that skin back there, the old badger skins? Which there was no beauty, we should desire it. And when it was made flesh and dwelt among us, it was still no beauty, we should desire it. And now the same thing today, there is nothing in a man or a woman that can be desired. It's what's it's behind there. That's what it says. Well, you say, that fellow, I know he used to be a drunkard. That's what they used to say about Jesus. Oh, no, it doesn't say that. What do you mean, it doesn't? When they say that he was a gluttonous man and a wine drinker and a friend of publicans and harlots, in other words, at this time they could say this man is a drunkard. He used to do this, and I don't care what he used to do, what's hid behind that skin. They could say that back then, I don't care what Jesus does, what is behind there, that's what counts, that's what the people is blinded. The skin blinds the people, and there to the left he writes, the important thing is what is behind the veil. See, they say, I remember when that woman used to, I know what she used to, but what about now? See, them skins that was once on the badger, but now it's hiding the glory of God. Got it housed behind it. It was on an animal, but now it's housing the glory of God. And so can your skin be changed tonight to be made a housing place for God, God dwelling in humanity. Now look, our brother William continues to say, and that is the voice that will have to be heard in the Lord's day, the last day, the seventh millennium from Adam to now, or the third millennium from Christ to now. That is the message of the gospel of the kingdom, the message of the everlasting gospel. And he will bring all the divine knowledge that we need to obtain in order to be ready to be transformed and taken with Christ to the Mary Supper of the Lamb without forcing anyone. The gospel of the kingdom is preached, and whoever will believe will believe. In other words, whoever is in the divine program, remember that Christ also said to those who didn't want to believe in him, you cannot believe because you are not of my sheep. And there he dismissed them, he says there. Now look, in the message, the three kinds of believers on page 24, Reverend William Branham tells us there. He says, now, we find now, they do just a little bit before that, it says, and this message of the hour that we are now enjoying, the presence of God, the latter day, the evening time when the lights are shining, and the things that's been opened up, and the word vindicated and proven to be truth, both prophesied, come to pass, all through scientific and everything proved that it is, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever, and a man walked out on that. And on the right, he writes, the unbeliever walks out on it, which is what has happened at this end time. The unbelievers has walked out of the fulfillment of what was promised. He is an unbeliever. He's beyond hopes. He's numbed by the power of Satan. So there is no hopes for him. He's beyond hopes. Now, that is what the believer, now the unbeliever, now the third class we're speaking about is the make-believer. That's the boy, the make-believer. Now, remember, there stood all three. Now, we find now, they just exactly like their father does, Judas. There was Peter and the rest of the apostles, believers. There was the 70 unbelievers. And there was Judas hung right on. He was a make-believer. What do they do? This is the kind that holds on until they can find something, a fault in it. They are there until the end, always on the lookout for a mistake to criticize, to fight against, to mock as well. They are always looking for faults, and they listen and are attentive so that when they see that something is being done in the divine program, but they are the ones who are there to attack, they wait for something to be spoken and for the activity to be held and everything, so then they can attack. One identifies them as the Judases there. They are looking every time to find a loophole, see how it's done, see if it's a trick or if it's a gimmick. They are waiting to be sold out. Now, notice, that will happen more openly in that time when once all that was seen in the 10th vision takes place, remember that everything moves progressively, and today God is carrying out all the most important things, which is the revelation, the rapture in faith. Later on, the altar calls will appear. Later on, the prayer line will appear as well, the prayers for the sick. But notice all of that. If they question it, criticize it, and search for something to fight against, in the time of John, of Jesus, of the apostles, of the seven angel messengers, in the time of Brother Branham, they used to look for, no, that's mental telepathy, or the other. See, for the unbelievers, there is no way for God to show something for them to believe, because they are always unbelievers and will continue to be unbelievers. There is no way for them to believe, even if the stones rose, the dead, it says, out of those stones, Jesus says, still, they will not believe, because the unbeliever will always be an unbeliever, whether they see miracles or they don't see miracles. They are watching to be sold out. They're looking for that. The unbeliever, he don't even wait around. He's condemned it and walked out. The believer, no matter what happens, he believes it anyhow, for it's the word. And to the right, he writes, the unbeliever lives. The make-believers are those who stay until the end, who are unbelievers, because in the end, Brother William says that there end up being only two groups, believers and unbelievers. But the make-believing unbeliever, that is, the make-believer, is the worst kind. He's the most stubborn one. He is the most problematic one. The old unbeliever will walk out on the first thing that said he don't like about it. Brother, he's going to show his colors right then. He's an unbeliever. Paul said they went out from us because they wasn't of us in the beginning. And above he writes, those who leave, they went out from us, but they were not. That's how it is in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, in the fulfillment of the coming of those ministries to the church bride, in the midst of the church bride, where he said that those ministries will be invited for the fulfillment of the 10th vision. In other words, the Holy Spirit will be in the midst of the church, which is the pillar of fire that Reverend William Branham saw speaking to somebody else above where he was. In other words, at that time, the Holy Spirit is the one that would be operating those ministries, to fulfill the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. And at this end time, those who were not of us leave. They went out from us because they were not of us. They went out from us because they wasn't of us in the beginning. They started with us. Notice. Many of those who have left started from the beginning, and many have been around for many years. But what is the use of them being there from the beginning if in the end they were going to reject the fulfillment of the promise of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels? It was of no use to them. Oh, you did run well. What hindered you? See it? They went out because they wasn't of us. And there is what Brother William says. He says, remember that Christ also said to those who didn't want to believe in him, you cannot believe because you are not of my sheep. And there he dismissed them. Because notice, at this end time, that is what has been happening. And that instrument can say, you cannot believe in me because you are not of my sheep. And since the Son of Man comes with his angels to make that separation, that segregation, then he already dismissed them there. He says, and there he dismissed them. And so have I now. I have already dismissed them, see, to those who are unbelievers. Whoever don't want to believe won't believe. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He said, he that is of God hears God's voice. He that is of God to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb will hear the great voice of trumpet, the last trumpet, the final message of God, the gospel of the kingdom, which will be intertwining with the gospel of grace. That is the mystery as well. How a dispensational message intertwines with another dispensational message. Only a dispensational prophet can do it. No other prophet can do it. And it has to be the one who is ordained for that new dispensation to intertwine his message with the dispensation that is ending. The steps for the adoption. All those who will be adopted will be hearing the great voice of trumpet, the trumpet of God. All the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man, the voice of the Son of God, and will resurrect. Whoever won't be listening and isn't listening to it, well, won't be transformed. Remember, in John chapter 5, verse 24, around there, where he wrote to us, in that part where he says that the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and will rise, and he writes there, in flesh, that is why it is the voice of the Son of Man, the voice of the Son of God, that those in the sixth dimension will hear, and they will rise. The steps for the adoption. In that message will be revealed the mystery of the coming of the Lord to his church, and we will not speak about that now. We will leave it for another occasion, because the coming of the Lord to his church will be more simple than we can imagine. Now look, on page 329 from the Book of the Seals in English, Reverend William Branham tells us there, he says, and let's have this one open here as well, to see what he writes there to us. He says, they could be big enough to be simple enough. They could find him in that direction by being simple. But as long as you're going towards wisdom, you're going away from him. Now let me get that so you won't miss it. As long as you're trying to find God by wisdom, like it was in the Garden of Eden, like it was in the days of Moses, like it was in the days of Noah, like it's been in the days of Christ, in the days of John, in the days of the apostles, and to this day, when you try to figure it out and try to find God by wisdom, you are going farther from him all the time. You're trying to understand it. There is no way of doing it. Just accept it. See? Just believe it. Don't try to understand it. And he writes there, don't try to understand it. Just accept it. Believe it. And he also writes there, to accept equals to believe. I can't understand why that, well, a lot of things. Not many things I do understand, or can I understand. And he writes there on this other book, he writes, there are many things that I do not understand. Now, Notice, there on page 330 from the book in English, it says, so you see, don't try to get wisdom to understand, just believe what he says. And the more simpler you can get, then there you are, you'll find it. Now, I'm so thankful that he is. He has made himself simple, and he writes there in the left, simple, and on the right, there on this one, let's see here, he draws a Star of David in the previous paragraph, so that you can have that drawing there, where it says, they ain't got them a watch or a clock or any piece of machinery that's that perfect, and yet it stands there and then leaning backwards. What if it straightened it up a little bit? Yeah. You just make yourself silly to try to see, and he draws a Star of David there on the right. It's a bit before. It's because there was a star in this one and today, so that you have it there in that previous paragraph. Well, let's continue here. Brother William continues to say there, the world won't even realize when Christ takes his church. Therefore, they won't know that it was the coming of the Lord to his church. It will be as a thief in the night. The scripture says the foolish virgins didn't see him either. They didn't know that he was coming, but they didn't have the oil and they went to buy some. In other words, they left to search for other leaders, their own ministers who are against. They went to look for the Holy Spirit in other places. And when they returned, the wise virgins had already gone in with the bridegroom to the marriage and the door has been closed. So it's the wise virgins who will see him, receive him. Automatically, the person identifies as an elect of God there. When he's receiving at this time the revelation, the content of the seven thunders, and he's receiving the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, he's seeing him and receiving him and believing him wholeheartedly and go in with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's important to know the steps, that is, the order for the adoption, for the transformation of the living, and for the dead in Christ, the resurrection in eternal bodies. It is important to know the requirements for the transformation. Let us stand. And thus we leave in this message the requirements for the transformation. Our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.